Noah Ovshinsky joins us for a regular state news roundup.
Noah, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Veronica.
So a marathon session in the state legislature last night. Let's take a look at some of the things that happened there, and we'll start with chemotherapy drugs. This was a high-profile one that a lot of people were watching. What happened?
Right. So this bill makes chemotherapy drugs in pill form more affordable, and it puts it really more on par with the chemotherapy drugs that are offered through IVs, which are generally cheaper. And as you mentioned, this has gotten a lot of press because it passed the Senate almost unanimously, but for a time it was unclear what the Assembly was going to do with it.
And what happened? This was, I guess it's being billed as a slightly lightened up version of the original bill.
Right. So the Assembly did end up voting on an amended version of the bill. And what it does is it caps copays at $100 per month.
And what happens then?
Well, at this point, I can't say what will happen in the Senate because, again, this is a different version from what the Senate passed. So the Senate has to re-vote on this latest amended version. I can say, though, that there will be a lot of pressure on the Senate to pass this new version of the bill. The Senate meets one more time before they adjourn for the year. And so there'll be quite a bit of pressure. The governor has weighed in on this. The governor said he will sign it. As we just heard, the Assembly weighed in on it with their vote. And advocates for cancer patients have weighed in on this as well. They're also supportive of this amended bill.
There was a little bit of drama surrounding this bill when Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald hit pause on it, and it's moving again, as you just told us. But do we know where Scott Fitzgerald is on the bill?
Right. So the big question now is what's the Senate going to do when they come back into session? And at least according to the AP, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald is reviewing the amendment. We haven't really gotten a sense of what he thinks of it yet.
So we'll be watching that one. And we'll move on to another area that was under consideration, school accountability. Catch us up there.
Right. So with the school accountability bill, actually the reverse happened. The Assembly scrapped its plan for the bill and ended up voting and approving the Senate's version. So the opposite of what happened with the chemotherapy drug bill. The Assembly bill that they wanted to pass went a bit further than the Senate was willing to go. It imposed sanctions on poor performing schools that received taxpayer money of some kind. So this proposal was criticized by, you know, both supporters of traditional public schools and those that support voucher schools. The Senate bill, which the Assembly ended up voting on, simply requires test results and other kinds of data to be made public. So it doesn't include any sanctions. It's kind of a lighter version of what the Senate was voted on.
And give us a status check on where this one is in the legislature.
Right. So the thing about this accountability bill, as it was passed, minus the sanctions for poor performing schools, what this bill does is it essentially allows parents, teachers, kids, the state at large, to compare the variety of schools that are now available in the state, be it traditional public schools, charter schools, and now voucher schools, which will grow in number in the coming years. So it allows people to really compare apples to apples when it comes to performance.
And this bill looks to be on its way to the governor's desk, right?
It is. The bill is on the way to the governor's desk, and he has indicated he will sign it.
All right. So that's another one we'll be keeping our eyes on as it progresses a bit there. And amidst all the bills that did pass, there were some, obviously, that were left on the table. Can you give us a rundown on what didn't get passed?
Right. So there are a few things the Assembly did not vote on, which means they are effectively, you know, dead for the year. Now, these are bills either the Assembly didn't vote on or they didn't make it to the floor for votes in either chamber. One was the cookie bill, which has gotten quite a bit of press. And this bill passed the Senate, but the Assembly didn't do anything with it, didn't schedule a vote. So it's effectively dead. And what this cookie bill would have done is it would have allowed home cooks to sell up to $10,000 worth of baked goods using their home kitchens.
Okay, so this seems like something that a lot of people who want to do small businesses out of their home, sort of a cottage food thing, would have enjoyed.
Right. This is an example of what you just said. It's cottage food legislation, and it's something that many states around the country are embracing. I think somewhere around 40 states or so already have something like this on the books. Wisconsin actually already has a so-called, we'll call it the pickle bill. That's actually already on the books. That was passed, I think, in 2010. And that allows home cooks to sell certain canned items, you know, high acid items like pickles and that sort of thing. So there is a precedent for this. But the cookie bill that dealt with the home baked items, just couldn't get through the assembly.
Yeah, it's interesting. The pickle bill went forward. The cookie bill, not so much.
Right. So the Senate actually passed it, but the assembly didn't even bring it up for a vote. And, you know, the critics of this bill, one of the reasons why it wasn't brought up even for a vote in the assembly before they adjourned was there are some folks in the assembly who feel that this represents it's unfair competition to traditional bakeries who are subject to a larger number of regulations. And that, you know, home bakers should be subject to the same kinds of regulations. And they just want these different folks to be treated the same.
And maybe there isn't quite the huge market out there for pickled products that there is for bakers and bakery products, sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of bakers who would like to be able to make this stuff in their homes and sell it as a small business. For now, at least, this bill is dead.
Okay. Well, let's look at another one left on the table, a Fraxan bill.
Right. So this was one that we've covered a lot just in the last few months. And basically what this Fraxan bill, of course, and this is the Fraxan industry here in Wisconsin, which is very big and growing. And basically what this bill said was once a Fraxan company has received a permit to operate, local units of government, be it the county or townships or city or whatever, they would not be able to add new regulations to that frac sand mine once they're permitted. And this whole issue really goes back to this issue of local control, which has been a matter of a lot of debate, for a long time, but certainly recently, about to what extent can townships and local units of government and counties, to what extent can they regulate this huge and growing industry. Tom Tiffany, who is the sponsor of this bill, says the rules shouldn't be changed in the middle of the game. You know, the industry, the frac sand industry, is concerned that governments are passing new ordinances as a way to keep them out. And as it is, there is a patchwork of regulations around the state as far as how these frac sand mines are treated. Critics say that this bill was vague and that it could have broader implications. And so it'll be very interesting to see if this is brought back in the next session. I know there's a lot of concern among supporters of the frac sand industry. There's a lot of concern that these local ordinances are becoming too burdensome for these frac sand companies.
And there's a patchwork of different ones across the state.
Exactly. And they range from very loose regulations to very strict regulations. I mean, there are actually some moratoriums right now on new frac sand mines. So there's really it runs the gambit, really.
Well, we'll keep – obviously the frac sand issue is one that will keep evolving in the next year, the next session. So that's certainly something, like you said, we'll be watching to see if it comes back. And another story here, this might come as a surprise to a lot of people. Apparently, the drought in southern Wisconsin has returned.
Yes. This little news item caught me by surprise because I don't know about you, Veronica, but I feel like it's snowed a lot.
Yeah, I think everybody's on board with that assessment. Yeah.
Seems to be a lot of water hanging around. But no, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, which follows this sort of thing, 44% of Wisconsin is experiencing abnormally dry to moderate drought conditions. Now, this is mainly in the south, central, and western parts of the state.
No, I know you're a newsman. You're not a meteorologist or a
yes.
climatologist.
Yes.
But how is this possible?
I have no idea. But what I can tell you is that these areas that have identified as being experiencing abnormally dry or moderate drought conditions, that they've gotten less than 50% of the normal precipitation that they would expect over the past 3 months.
So we don't know what effect snow melt will do to that figure, but that's really something. 50% less than normal precipitation.
Yeah, it's quite a shortfall.
So I guess we'll all be watching to see what happens next with spring weather.
Yeah, and obviously this could have implications for farmers and really a wide variety of industries and jobs.
Excellent. Well, Noah, thanks a lot for coming by.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
Noah Ovshinsky is WPR's Assistant News Director.
He joins us every week at this time for a look at what's making news in Wisconsin.